This is Steeler Country, episode 108 for weeks 16 and 17 of the 2012 season. We decided to combine both podcasts with the holidays and the Steelers missing the playoffs. It felt right to... we usually do a year-end wrap-up podcast. This will not be a year-end wrap-up. We're certainly going to do more, but in this podcast, we're really going to look at what happened to the Steelers down the stretch. You know, take a hard look at those three games after Ben Roethlisberger got back, and talk about what were the issues with the team down the stretch that prevented it from being a playoff team, and then ultimately led to an 8-8 season. We do talk a lot about Todd Haley and whether or not he's going to come back, and whether or not we want him back, and his role in the team, and what the offensive coordinator you know, what his role should be on the team, where we should go with that position. We did not mention, because it hadn't happened yet when we were doing the podcast, that Todd Haley is now going to interview for the Arizona Cardinals job. So he very well may move on and get the Arizona job. So that being said, if you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. The website is SteelerCountry.net, and the Twitter is twitter.com/SteelerCountry. We want to get your feedback next week on the podcast. We're going to do MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player. So send those in to us, because we're going to be doing all those awards next week. That being said, let's get on with the show. All right, this is Steeler Country. I'm your host, Tony, alongside my two co-hosts, Mike and Joe. We didn't do a podcast last week due to holidays and some scheduling stuff, so this will be a podcast kind of wrapping up the last 2 weeks of the season. So week 16, the Steelers lose to the Cincinnati Bengals 13-10. That game is the game in which they were eliminated from the playoffs, making week 17 kind of a meaningless game against Cleveland. The Steelers win that game 24-10. Joe, I want to go to you first tonight. The Steelers missed the playoffs this year. They went 8-8. What was your reaction after that Cincinnati game? A close game, a game the Steelers felt like they were going to win at multiple times throughout the game. Defense played well. What was your thought process coming out of that game?
Hey guys, great to be here. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to Steeler Country. It's still great to be a Steeler fan, even though we've been eliminated. And before I address your question, Tony, hi, Mike. What I want to do is just start this off on a positive note, because there's not a whole lot of positive to talk about in an 8-8 season when your team should have been 12-4 and contending for the top seed in the AFC. So here's a positive. We don't have to experience a Steeler loss in 2013 until September at the very soonest. Sit back and enjoy the playoffs, guys. They should be entertaining. All right. You have to remind me of the Cincinnati loss on the heels of the miserable Dallas loss. I mean, it was like a repeat of the Dallas game. It was like a repeat of the San Diego game. It was just like the trifecta of garbage. And it's really all offense. The defense this season, you know, I know you're asking me about a game, but to me, the defense this season started out like, holy crap, we have to rebuild the defense. But no, really what happened was, Dick LeBeau and Mike Tomlin, whoever, had to rethink the defense and re-scheme the defense. And, you know, just strategize. And a couple of new guys stepped up. A couple of guys we've been waiting for to step up, stepped up. On the offense, the exact opposite happened. Started out looking great. You know, it looked like, wow, we've got a really cool offense going here. Ben gets hurt, comes back, three losses in a row. The last meaningful win for the Steelers was a road game in Baltimore, of all places, with Charlie Batch at the helm. And it was an exciting game. I mean, it's one for the ages that we'll never forget, probably. But that Dallas game, Cincinnati game, San Diego game, to me, they're all one and the same. It's a mixture of offensive garbage and catastrophe. And really the only thing that sticks out to me is that our star quarterback, put us out of the playoffs almost single-handedly and overtime and at the end of the games. It was just a god-awful disappointment. That's it. Those are my thoughts. Honestly, that's my big thoughts about what I saw happen to my Steelers, my beloved Steelers.
Yeah. Mike, your thoughts on that Steeler loss?
Hey guys, how's it going? It's good to be talking Steelers, but it's not fun to be talking when they're out of the playoffs. I mean, that's just, it's really frustrating for me because I really get excited and look forward to making the playoffs, especially around the holiday time. You have lots of times you have days off from work, and so you can watch more sports and stuff, and it's leading up to your team in the playoffs and all of that. And it's disappointing. I mean, the Steelers were eliminated in week 16, so we didn't even get a chance to, enjoy the going into the week 17. And it was frustrating in many ways. One, in that the defense played very well, as Joe pointed out. It looked like maybe Polamalu started to come around and we started to see at least his speed from previous years. And the defense played really well in the game against the Bengals for the most part. And the offense had many opportunities, and that's what's frustrating, is that it seemed like they had good field position a lot, sometimes at their own 40, sometimes starting a drive, it seemed like inside Bengal territory, and couldn't do anything with it and actually went backwards out of field goal range. And they ended up losing by three, and Swisham is solid the whole season, and he misses a long field goal, which is forgivable. And then there's a short field goal that he missed that, whether it was the hold or whatever, but it's just, that's just the way it was. And I probably saw it all coming with that penalty on Kiesel after they got off the field after two sacks very early in the game. And Kiesel goes and shoots a bow and arrow and gets an unsportsmanlike penalty for that. I had a feeling at that point it wasn't going to be a good day. And, the season overall, it is they're just basically underachievers is the way I put it. There's a lot of talent on the team, and for whatever reason, they couldn't put it all together offensively, defensively at the same time. And even though the defense seemed to come around, the offense started well, but for whatever reason, couldn't put it together down the stretch when we needed it most.
Yeah, I mean, that the story of the season obviously is going to be the offense. And obviously coming out of that Cincinnati game, we're all talking about the offense. We're all talking about why couldn't the Steeler offense, a Steeler offense that looked so good earlier in the year, certainly looked like it was getting better and better week over week, that when Ben Roethlisberger came back, we had that high after Baltimore of, once again feeling like we were on top of the world. We could, we could beat anybody. If we could beat Baltimore with Charlie Batch, the way the defense is playing, of course we can beat San Diego. Of course we can beat Dallas. Of course we can beat Cincinnati. But what ended up happening is the offense just never got back to where it was. And that Cincinnati game kind of had everything in it. It had special teams mistakes. It had turnovers. It had, the inability to get a running game going. And then what we saw in the later half of the year was an inability to convert on third down, which you saw in that game against Cincinnati. But, I guess my takeaway immediately after the game was, of course we're upset that we didn't make the playoffs. And of course, we're all searching for answers there, but what a great defensive performance we saw in that game by the Steeler defense. I had said throughout the year that I thought Troy Polamalu might not have been the best player at the position for that Steeler defense. Not that he's a bad player, but just that he didn't fit any longer. That is not true. And was painfully obvious in these last 2 weeks how wrong I was. He made that defense that was, like Joe said, it was good but boring. He made it good and exciting again. The turnovers were back. The big plays were back. The general havoc that the offense would have to deal with was all back. And you put that alongside the Keenan Lewis doing the same thing he had done week in and week out. The same way Timmons had been dominating against the running game. Ryan Clark playing tremendously in the free safety spot. We saw all of that come together right at the end. And it certainly makes you wonder what would have happened had this team gotten into the playoffs, just from a defensive perspective. Then, of course, the young guy stepping up in that game, Cortez Allen had an unbelievable game. And when we start talking about you know, who to bring back next year. Cortez Allen has made that cornerback position a very, very intriguing one going into 2013, considering the way he played those last 2 weeks. But obviously the story is the offense. And Joe, the question I have for you, you know, we heard Ben Roethlisberger talk after Dallas about the play calling and Todd Haley and that. You know, he had three really bad games. Do you put that on the play calling? let me ask you this way. Do you think Todd Haley put Ben Roethlisberger in a situation to make plays, in a situation to play well? Obviously, he didn't have good games, but was the play calling a part of that?
You know, look, it might have been. I don't know. You know, I mean, there were bad throws. There were overthrows, underthrows, interceptions, late interceptions, game-ending interceptions involved in that. So clearly, the performance on the field for Ben Roethlisberger was disappointing. I mean, he has to be. How could he not be disappointed in his performance? Tony Romo is disappointed in what happened to him in the Redskins game, and he threw a game-ending interception, and he threw an interception earlier in that game, maybe two of them. Well, Ben Roethlisberger had a very similar experience against his division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, at home. I mean, you know, Todd Haley's not responsible for that. Now, what is he responsible for? Well, it's been mused on this podcast that defenses figured out Todd Haley's dink and dunk and made it look more like drink and drunk offense, right? To coin the ESPN phrase. And that when defenses make adjustments to what you're doing and you don't exploit what weakness is then exposed by their adjustment, that's on the offensive coordinator all the way. You have to be able to make them pay. If you're cheating up to stop my run, if you're cheating up to stop my my wide receiver, my beloved wide receiver screen, okay? If you're jamming the box, whatever it is that you're doing, okay? If you're cheating, over pursuing or just over committing to what you think I'm doing, then it should be easy for me to burn your ass for doing that. And I didn't see the Steelers offense burn anybody's ass but its own in the last 3 weeks of the season. So, you know, that's on Todd Haley. You know, adjustments, you know, in retrospect, and, you know, I admit it's retrospect. I'm looking back on the whole thing, but I mean, it's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. So I think Roethlisberger, he's absolutely responsible for his play and his lack of coming through. He's got a lot of comebacks, but not this season. He didn't come through for us at the end of this season. His mistakes put us out of the playoffs rather than him stepping up big and putting us into the playoffs. But also, you know, maybe the games aren't so close if you can generate some offense by adjusting to defenses that are overcommitting to a scheme. So I put that on Haley.
Mike, I want to get your take on the Haley play calling, but I also want to bring this up. In the three games in which the Steelers offense performed at its best, right? The three game winning streak we had: Cincinnati, Washington, New York. The Steelers had 100-yard rushers in each of those three games. I don't believe we had a 300-yard or a 100-yard rusher in any game since then. Do you put some of this on the lack of running game as well?
I think so. I believe the offense at the beginning of the season was successful because there was this mixture of pass and run. And I can't recall, but maybe the offensive line was healthier at the time. And there was just more consistency or it's just more solidified. And Joe's probably right that defenses started figuring out the dink and dunk and coming up with a way to defend it. And it didn't seem like there was much adjustment to it. So I think that, you know, the whole getting into third and short situations, that comes with a good running game. And if you're, and if there's not a good running game and there wasn't down the stretch, you know, that's out the window. And I don't know, you know, if you don't have a good running game, do you need to adjust the offense and maybe throw more? I don't know. Or do you, or not give up on it?
Right.
It's, I don't know what to say about it. It's just frustrating. I think that it was part of, play calling. And you're right. Ben, you know, Ben has come through in the clutch many times before, and this season he had the chance to do it and didn't do it for whatever reason. Now, I'll go on record as saying of all the quarterbacks in the league, there's not many I'd take before Ben. I mean, he is the type of guy that can, change a play at any time and take over a game and win a game at the end. And I still think he can do that. It's just unfortunate it didn't happen this year, and we'll have to see what happens next year.
The running game, I think the running game later in the year certainly played a part. You know, like you talked about, Mike, the third and short and that kind of stuff. It's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what changed about the offense, because there are so many different variables in that equation, right? I mean, there's the lack of the running game, but there's also the inconsistency in personnel just on the offensive line. I mean, switching guys in and out, it seemed like every game. You know, we had Pouncey playing guard at one point. And then, you know, you have to factor in the defense starting to figure out the short passing game. It seemed like Cincinnati was the one game where it just seemed like they knew it was coming. They had seen this before. They had seen this on tape. And Ben's first read wasn't there. But I have to go back to this. You know, back to Ben talking about Haley. And I want to talk about the mentality of the football team going down the stretch. The Steelers lost, I believe the stat is 5. They had 7 games decided by a touchdown or less, and they lost 5 of them. What do you guys attribute that to leadership, to just the ball not bouncing our way? You know, this was a team under Mike Tomlin that prided itself on winning those games. In fact, Mike Tomlin built a career winning those games. You know, that's the throw style points out the window. This year, you know, style points got thrown out the window, but it didn't result in any wins. Or it certainly didn't result in enough wins. The Steelers lose to Cincinnati by 3. And Mike, you talked about the different situations in that game, the missed field goal, not only the short one, but of course the long missed field goal. You know, the inability to get yards in that position to give Swisham less than a 53-yard field goal. It seems to me that there's a lack of leadership in the locker room that this team down the stretch just wasn't mentally tough enough to win close games.
Well, look, the giant elephant in this season is the Cleveland game. I think it was the Cleveland game in Pittsburgh, right?
No, that was in Cleveland.
The one with the 8 fumbles?
Yep.
That was in Cleveland.
Yeah, the Steelers finished the year 3 of 4 games at home.
And lost 3 of 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. They won their final home game.
Well, and it was a meaningless
right,
game.
Meaningless, right. Right.
Right. Actually, winning that game cost them a couple of draft pick positions, as I understand it.
Yep.
Right? We're picking, what are we picking, 17th in
17th.
The draft?
17th, yep.
And had we lost that game, we would have picked 15th or 14th?
12th.
12th. Oh, my God. 5 positions. We might have got that badass number 95 I was watching the other night in one of the college bowl games. I don't know what his number was. 95 was another guy. No, there's some guy, the hell team, it doesn't matter. All right. In any case.
Was it the South Carolina guy?
I think it was the South Carolina guy. Yeah,
you're thinking about Clowney.
You're thinking about Clowney.
That's the guy.
Clowney, he can't come out. He can't come to the NFL for another year.
Oh, so it didn't cost us Clowney. Well, that's good.
Well, we wouldn't have gotten
him. He'll probably be a top.
Yeah, he's going to be top 2 pick.
Well, let's hope we're not in contention for him. Unless we're trading up.
Yeah.
All right. So the giant elephant in this season is what happened in Cleveland. I mean, look, if you go back to the podcast after the Cleveland game, I spent the second half of this season, in which the Steelers amassed a 2-6 record, and with one of those two wins being the last game of the Cleveland game in Pittsburgh, a meaningless game. So while the Steelers were amassing their 2-6 record, I kept coming on this podcast and saying I choose to withhold judgment until the whole thing is over. But about that Cleveland game, I said, look, this is either going to be something that we look back and go, and it's an anomaly. It doesn't fit with the rest of the picture. And you go, wow, that was really out of place and weird. And I wonder what that was all about. Or you're going to look back on it and go, wow, that was an indication of something really was wrong. And I don't think there's any question that what went on in Cleveland on that particular Sunday with eight fumbles or eight turnovers and of every sort, right? I mean, from every different running back, too, from our star running back. We had interception, right? We had everything. That game just had everything. And that we were still not really put out of the game because the defense played so well. I mean, we actually had chances to win that game. But in any case, I think it was a telltale sign that there are other problems with the offense, followed up by a couple of weeks later, Mendenhall not showing up for the San Diego game. I think there's a tremendous lack of discipline on the offense. Now, that could be lack of discipline, could be all sorts of different things. One of which is I have no discipline because I have no respect for my leadership.
Specifically Tomlin?
I think if you read into it, where you're going, Tony, I don't totally disagree with you on this. I think Mike's going to have some disagreement. So I'll go ahead and say what I'm going to say, and then, you know, I'm sure you're going to want to let Mike have a rebuttal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll buy the, you know, Ben made comments. He made comments about Haley immediately after he was hired. He made comments about Arians being fired immediately after he was fired. He made public comments. And then he made a comment about play calling after the Dallas game. And I hope you'll read it later. There's a funny, somebody put out a funny Twitter about Ben Roethlisberger and his criticizing the play calls and mm-hmm. his interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I think that's real. I think there is a genuine, on Ben Roethlisberger's part, a genuine disrespect for Todd Haley. Now, he did that publicly. He had to do it vocally in the locker room and in practice and that, and amongst his guys, even maybe candidly or privately, amongst his guys. So the offense performed like something where the wheels came off, where it was just not, wasn't working. There was something wrong with the foundation there. And I think mm-hmm. that came from Ben. I really do. And I don't really, it doesn't sit well with me, especially the public stuff to the media. I mean, we never really had that with Steelers in the past. I really don't want to have it with Ben.
Are you saying divided locker room?
I think lack of respect for Todd Haley led to lack of discipline on the field,
mm-hmm.
and led to an offense that didn't function, and an offense that couldn't produce, and a team that missed the playoffs with a defense that was performing at a top level for most of the year.
Well,
that had started out piss poor, too.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing, right? Is that the while the offense sputtered and had all this, you know, of course there's, you know, stuff in the media about, you know, I didn't like the play calling and all this. The defense was not affected by that in any way. And so if there is something going on in the locker room, it didn't seem to be affecting the defense late in the year. The defense continued to play at a high level, seemed like throughout the entire year. Maybe you could say in the the Chargers game and then a little bit in the Cowboys game. Mike, do you agree with Joe? I mean, is there a lack of respect for the coaching staff from the players?
There's definitely something going on between – I don't know if it's not all the players, but some of the players. It's just that there's discontent on that team in the locker room between Wallace, between Mendenhall, Ben's comments.
Is it directed at Tomlin or is it at Haley or both?
I don't think it's directed at Tomlin. I think the players have a lot of respect for Tomlin. I think that Ben was obviously frustrated that Arians was going because he liked that style of high flying offense. And we on this podcast said we didn't like it. We pointed out that especially at the beginning of the season, that dink and dunk was the way to go. You're not getting in these second and 17 situations because you try to pass on first down and get sacked or you get a holding penalty, and now you have to convert a second 20 or a third and 15 or something like that. That happened very little at the beginning of the season, so it was good. However, whether, as we mentioned earlier, the defense has figured it out, I can see some frustration. I can understand why Ben would be frustrated in that. If the offense wasn't clicking, you got to change stuff. I mean, he must have felt like he had restraints on. Remember the old phrase that we said, you know, Joey Porter said years ago, what'd he say? Take the chains off. Yeah. So I think that's how Ben felt. He felt like, okay, I'm going to go through this short pass every now and then, go deep, whatever. But he must have felt like, if you just let me play, I know we can score points. I know we can get 17 points in the first half. And I'm sure he was frustrated the whole season. And I'm not saying that Haley was wrong and Ben was right in the situation. But what I am saying, when you're a team, a professional team, a franchise, and you got two people that have a little bit of a disagreement in the philosophy of how something should go or something should work, they got to work it out. And you got to work it out for the positive. And they didn't work it out. And if they did, it wasn't a good solution because it didn't work in the end. So
I think what rubs me the wrong way in thinking about this, you know, I don't know that it's not something to do with Tomlin. Clearly, Haley and Ben we have known that for a while, right? We knew that. Right when we got Todd Haley, right when we fired Bruce Arians, and Ben, you know, wanted to know why, and you know, he they weren't sure if Ben and Haley were going to talk, or it took them 2 weeks to even have their first conversation after Haley got hired, and Haley said that stuff about, you know, there's not going to be a lot of room for, you know, emotion or whatever in the locker room. I mean, he's a very no nonsense guy. You know, and then the comments earlier in the year about, you know, from Ben, I don't know, you know, we were 12-4 last year. I'm not really sure why we got rid of our offensive coordinator, you know, and then of course it all led up to that Dallas game, right? But when I heard Jerome Bettis say what he said, to that radio radio show he called into, where he basically said, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have the quote in front of me, but he basically said, firing Bruce Arians was a mistake, but the right thing to do. And the reason he gave was that it was a mistake because no matter who you brought in after Todd Haley, this was going to happen. Ben was going to say no, and he was going to put
after Arians.
I'm sorry, after Arians. Yeah, whoever you bring in after Arians, didn't just have to be Haley. It could have been anybody. That person was going to feel Ben's wrath because he was that close to Arians. I do have a part of Bettis's thing here. He said, I think it was a mistake, but it was a long time coming. When your star quarterback and offensive coordinator were really close and ownership felt like Ben wasn't getting enough discipline, it wasn't a one-year thing. Since Ben wasn't getting the discipline, they also felt Arians was giving in to what Ben wanted to do as opposed to the philosophy of the Steelers, which has been running the football first. And then he goes on to say about, you know, how they, you know, that created a problem in the mindset of the offense, yada, yada, yada. That concerns me, you know, The fact we can point to Todd Haley, and Joe, you said earlier about, you know, Todd Haley not having, you know, not making enough adjustments later in the year. But when I hear a player who, like Jerome Bettis, who I have a ton of respect for, who played with this guy for 2 years, knows Ben Roethlisberger. And he says, you know, that basically Ben Roethlisberger was not going to give in to whatever offensive coordinator we have. That bugs me because this is the quarterback that we're going to have for life now. This is it. We're going to have to deal with Ben Roethlisberger. But my other problem is that we did suffer a loss of leadership on that offense, on the offense and defense, really. You know, we lost both James Ferrier and Hines Ward, right? Two of the biggest leaders, two team captains. Defensively, it seemed like that group hung together, right? There was new leadership, Casey Hampton, Brett Kiesel, Troy Polamalu, Ryan Clark. You have a lot of veterans, James Harrison, a lot of veterans on that defense to bring that thing together. But on offense, you have a lot of young players. You have Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. The guy who you would think would keep that thing together would be Ben Roethlisberger. But instead of having a leader at quarterback, we have a guy who is going to take it upon himself to make another change at offensive coordinator. That's what bugs me.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, you're right, Tony. I mean, he probably played more rather than leader. More antagonist, and it didn't work out. So, look for what you said about I had seen that Bettis quote, but I didn't hear or maybe I didn't remember the thing the way. But the thing that just hit me from the way you read it is that the line about the Steelers organization wants to be running the football first, and they want that back again. I hope that is what this was about. That getting rid of Bruce Arians was about getting back to running the football, and it sure seemed like we tried to do that more early in the season, and it worked a little bit. Didn't work great. Worked a little bit, and I don't think any of us thought it was going to go from being
right. You know,
this lackluster, meaningless thing for the last 5 years to something that was potent, something that was fun to watch. But I think the team is taking steps in that direction. So I do hope that that's Art Jr.'s long-term philosophy, is that he's not going to abandon the things that his father, put into place. As far as the Steelers' philosophy, it's a winning philosophy. It's a great thing to watch when it works, and I want to see it again. So I think if that's the case, I think we're in for good things because that is going to work. And Ben Roethlisberger gets one career. This season turned into a throwaway season. That's going to happen for every quarterback. It's going to happen for lots of teams that are contenders. You're going to have just the ball doesn't break your way, whatever reason. Okay, so this happened this season, and it didn't turn out good for anybody. So going forward, if Art Jr. is saying, hey, man, this is the way it's going to be, then that is the way it's going to be. It's going to happen that way. And I look forward to that. I don't want to see us go back to big chunks. I do. Somebody, one of you guys said earlier, you know, maybe you throw more to open up the running game. Well, hell yeah, you do. That was always the bitch when we had the likes of Tom Zach at the helm, okay? Is that, okay, yeah, we got this great running game, and all they got to do is put nine guys in a box, and it makes it next to impossible to run the football. If we could just throw it once in a while, they couldn't do that to us. Well, yeah, we can. We can do that. And the passing game can be an important part of that, but you don't have to throw the ball 50 times a game to have a good passing game. You don't.
No, and I think Todd Haley, certainly if you looked at the way Todd Haley called games, I think he wanted to get the running game going. You know, there's a lot of problems that he had with the running game, not the least of which is the lack of any consistency within the health of that group. You know, week in and week out, it was Dwyer's down this week, then Redmond's down, then Mendenhall's down. Now Dwyer's back. But then he gets hurt that week, and so Redmond comes back the next week, and now he has to play, but then he gets hurt. So, you know what I mean? It was just over and over and over, with these guys, you know, unable to play over a stretch of time. And I think when you did see that relative health at the position, you know, it worked out, but that was like a three-game stretch. And then of course, you factor in the offensive line with that as well. The offense had some problems. Mike, your thoughts on that Bettis comment?
Bettis played with Ben. He was in the locker room, so he probably knows what was going on. I mean, I put some credibility behind that comment. It just seems like that the running game, as you just said, it was way too inconsistent, whether it be the offensive line or the three-headed monster at running back. I don't know if the answer is to abandon it. It just seemed like I said earlier, they should have figured it out. They should have figured out that things weren't working and they needed to change something to fix it. And they never did. But, you know, to their defense, things were working fine. Ben gets injured for three games and he comes back. And then they start – I mean, I think at least from a fan's perspective, that's when we start to notice, hey, this isn't as good as it was earlier.
Right.
So then they have to try to figure it out, and they have, whatever, four or five games to do it, and they couldn't do it. Or only four games, actually. So I don't know. Now, when I look at – you know, I know you don't like to look at statistics, but it looks like the top six – the top eight teams in rushing yards per game, mm-hmm. Six of them made the playoffs. And the worst teams of rushing per game that made the playoffs, Atlanta's number 29.
Yeah.
So they've basically
abandoned. And they have the best record in football.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah. And obviously Indianapolis is down at 22. They're the next team to make the playoffs with the lowest rushing per game, and that's Bruce Arians. And Green Bay is right there with them at 20. And the Steelers were 26 in rushing yards per game. So. Yeah.
Do you buy into the consistency at running back being the problem, and that, you know, a lot of you know, during Tomlin's last press conference, a lot of the media brought up, hey, you know, is getting a consistent running back going to be a priority in the offseason, whether it be Dwyer or Redmond, or someone else? What do you think? Do you think that needs to be a priority to get someone in here?
I think it does. I mean, I don't want to say look at Adrian Peterson, but look at Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, right.
You know, granted, he's a beast and I'm one of the best running backs of all time, possibly. Yeah, maybe the longevity of his career will that remains to be seen. However, I think so. And I think that the whole Cleveland thing, when I look back on it, I can't remember exactly what we said after the game, but it kind of stirs the locker room where you start losing when you pull guys because they fumbled, and you're basically saying, I don't have faith in you anymore. So that, I don't know. I think that may have led to some discontent, even though Tomlin was trying to teach a lesson. I think maybe that may have, you know, pissed some guys off.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you don't have, I made a mistake. You don't have faith in me, you know, screw you. So, I don't know, but I think so. And didn't he say that in his press conference that he thinks that was part of the problem as far as not having one consistent running back?
Yep.
And part of that was on the coaching, you know, sharing the load type of thing. But the other thing was just injuries led to that. So,
well, you know, this is, you know, you make a good point there. That's the second time in Tomlin's career that I can really remember, you know, his. He, you know, he comes out and says something, right, or does something, and it doesn't land at all, right? Do you remember? I'm reminded of 2009 when he came out and said, after we lost to Kansas City or Oakland, whichever one, and he said, you know, we're gonna raise hell in the month of December,
right? Unleash hell
in the month of December, and then they lost.
And we lost again.
They lost two more games before they started winning. You know, the players didn't respond there. Cleveland, he says, okay, you fumble, I'm taking you out. Mendenhall fumbles, I can't take you out. Now Redmond fumbles, I can't take you out. Dwyer fumbles, I can't take you out. Rainey fumbles, right? Sometimes, and I don't know how to read into this or what this means, but that message is not getting across. You know? Those times, Tomlin's message is just, it's not there, right? He and the team are on different pages. And the end of this season, were he and the team on different pages? I don't know. Certainly Ben and Haley were on different pages. But where Tomlin falls in all of that is hard to tell because he doesn't say much in the media. I don't know. I don't know how much to put. I don't know how much. My biggest fear, right, that I'm trying to work through as we get through the end of the season is, did this team quit on Tomlin? Or certainly, did the offense quit on Tomlin? When you have guys not showing up, when you talk about, you know, Mike Wallace, who's in a contract year and he just can't focus because he's not getting the ball enough, and then you have your offense, and then you have your quarterback basically call out your offensive coordinator. You know, all of that goes back to coaching, head coaching.
You in order to do that, each one of those things, even though it might have been directed more so against Todd Haley, when you do those things as a player, you also disrespect your head coach. You have to. There's no other way around it because he's going to deal with the fallout from whatever it is from your antics. So there's no way around that. I mean, you have players that don't like whatever it is. I'm not showing up. In the Cleveland game, we have four guys put the ball on the ground. He takes them all out. I mean, really, I don't know whether they did that on purpose. I can't believe that they did.
No, I don't think they did it on purpose.
So the fact that they all four of them fumbled. Okay, so maybe it was a good strategy to say, hey, Mendenhall, I started you. Who started the game? Was it Mendenhall who started? I think it was.
It was Mendenhall.
He was the first fumbler, right? Okay, so I started you, and you let me down. You fumbled. It's a big game. It's important. I'm going to make everybody understand that nobody's above this. Everybody's got to have their head in this game. So you're out, okay? Very next season, series, Redmond fumbles, right? So, maybe it was a good strategy to say that, but after all four guys put the ball on the ground, then you kind of like called him out but through incompetency and said, hey, now what are you going to do, coach? Yeah. You know, we all suck. So now what? Are you going to have a wide receiver carry the ball? What are you going to do, Mike Tomlin? So it kind of made him look foolish because of their incompetency.
He put Rainey in at the goal line, which is something he'd never do. Right? Remember
he
said he was that stubborn.
And it worked. So it kind of worked for him. But then when Rainey winds up fumbling, it's like, well, okay, so what are you going to do now, coach? Everybody fumbled. You need us. See? You need us. No matter how bad we are, you need us. So the strategy, it backfired on him is what happened.
Yeah. Well, actually, he put Mendenhall in again, and then he fumbled too.
Well, I know it did. It's just like the whole thing was just a catastrophe for him.
Right.
But, I don't think that you can disrespect your head coach. I mean, Todd Haley is Mike Tomlin's guy. Okay. I mean, he had to give the okay on him. I mean, you know, I'm sure Rooney had to give the okay also. And who's the big cheese there who had a football operation.
Colbert. Yeah, Colbert.
What's his name?
Kevin Colbert.
Colbert, that's right. Well, anyway, all these guys they had to give the okay, but Tomlin had to give his okay too. So this is Tomlin's guy. Okay, so if you're Ben Roethlisberger at all, the rest of the offense, and you're quitting on your offensive coordinator, or you're just disrespecting it, you're disrespecting Tomlin too. You have to have some disrespect for him as well. You have to, whether you realize it or not.
I think that goes back to what you guys were saying earlier about the leadership. Because what happens is they start to lose, or they're not scoring 30 points a game when they think they should score 30 points a game. So they look around at each other and say, what the hell's going on? And you know, you whenever you have, whether it be a bad day at work or you're playing pickup games with your friends or whatever and you're losing – you're going to talk about why you're losing, just like we do on the podcast. They lose, we talk about why they lose. So the players are going to do the same thing. And they're going to start, whether it's pointing fingers or saying we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. And that just breeds discontent. And it all starts with losing. And that's when you need someone like Hines Ward or someone to step up. And in this transition year of a leader, it seems like no one really stepped up. No one really said, listen, whether we're losing or not, this is what the coaches are calling, and we just need to do better at it.
Yeah.
Or you have five guys go into the coach's room and have a meeting and say, look, we just want to tweak it a little bit. You know, let us do a little more of this. We think this will help.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, okay, so let's talk about Ben versus Haley now. And I want to talk about, instead of talking about the problem, let's talk about the solution. All right, I got two questions. Before we get to whether or not you want Haley back, let me ask you this question. Joe, I'll go to you first. Does Todd Haley deserve another year as Steelers offensive coordinator?
You know, I would have given an unconditional yes had the season not ended quite the way it did offensively. You know, regardless of what the players think and the insurrection and the Cleveland game and, you know, all of that. But I have to tell you that, you know, we have on the defensive side of the ball, we have unquestioned, unequaled greatness, genius on that side of the ball. We witnessed it this year. We watched our defense transform in the matter of a few weeks right before our very eyes. That is greatness in coaching. That is the top of the heap. You can't get any better than that. On the other side of the ball, we watched our offense go, wow, man, we've been waiting for this for 5 years when we started out. You can go back to some of the early games. I remember myself saying, holy crap, this Todd Haley guy, he's got it. Every week he comes out, he does stuff. It looks the same, but it's different. Nobody knows what the hell he's doing, right? But after Ben comes back from injury, none of that exists anymore. We can't make a first down. You know, I got to go, hey, man, what happened? And Mike made a good point. Ben comes back. It was working. So in San Diego game, it stops working. And so then you got to go, okay, it didn't work in that game. Do I have a problem, or was that just, you know? So now the next week is the Dallas game. All right. Obviously, it didn't work in a Dallas game either. The Dallas game had some defensive problems too, because we had all our cornerbacks were, you know, they were in the infirmary. So, you know, when do you realize I got to make a change, and when do you do it? I don't know. You know, if Haley should have adjusted and did not, then I don't want him back. If it was like, hey, you know, Ben's come back, he can't, you know, he wasn't as sharp. He missed some reads, that kind of thing, because he was out for a month. And then, you know, in the Dallas game, now you realize something's up. But for the Cincinnati game, certainly there should have been an answer. There should have been adjustments made. So, I kind of think there's a lack of flexibility, a lack of ingenuity, a lack of game time adjustment ability there. That's my suspicion. And if that's true, then my answer is no.
Mike?
I say Todd Haley definitely deserves a second chance. I mean, he's only here 1 year. You got to allow him to work things out. And especially with the offensive line and all the injuries on the offensive line, it's hard to be consistent. And then he played three or four games in there with a backup quarterback, and not just a backup quarterback. I mean, we're talking these old guys that haven't played in a long time, to try to figure that out too. So I think that he definitely deserves to be back. And the answer on whether he should be back or not is him and Ben and Tomlin need to be on the same page. If they can't figure that out, then someone's got to go. And you either – I mean, if Ben's your quarterback, then let him pick the offensive coordinator. I know you're not going to like to hear that. Then let him pick it, or let him call his own plays. And go from there. And if you don't like that, then get rid of Ben and keep Haley. But as I already said, there's not many more quarterbacks in this quarterback league. There's not many more quarterbacks that I want than Ben. So
yeah, I mean, I think I'm right with you, Mike. I mean, I think I want Haley back. I think to you know, we saw this. I don't want to compare Ben Roethlisberger to Cordell Stewart, but I'm going to. You know, we saw this with Cordell, right? He changed offensive coordinators something like 4 in 7 years or something like that. Too many times. Too many times he changed offensive coordinators, and I think his career suffered for it. Not that he had a Hall of Fame career ahead of him, but his career suffered for it. And I think to change offensive coordinators – 2 times in 2 years is way too much. I think Todd Haley should come back, but considering what we're dealing with as far as the comments that Jerome Bettis made, the fact that there isn't a leader in the locker room, if Ben Roethlisberger does not believe in the game plan, does not believe in the coach, the offensive coordinator, then that offense isn't going to move. It isn't going to go. And I don't want to fire Todd Haley because of three games, right? And I don't even, Joe, I don't know if I buy into the fact that he's not a good game plan adjuster, right? We saw this offense struggle for three games, right? It wasn't as though it was an eight-game stretch. It was a three-game stretch. Now, these were very important three games, but I don't think you can fire a guy for three games.
No, I agree with you, but I'm going to say the team finished in meaningful games 1-6. I admitted to the 11th hour, nature of what happened. The San Diego game, you're going to say, well, my quarterback wasn't himself. The Dallas game, you have defensive problems that add to your offensive woes.
And a big fumble in that game on special teams.
Yep.
Are you really going to light my fuse on those goddamn
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have said that.
The special teams added, just for fun, they added a meaningless fake punt, punt, where they gave up a fake punt for 40 yards. It was fabulous in the Cleveland game. Fantastic. Way
to
go,
guys.
They
just wanted you to remember them very well.
There was a team in one of the college bowl games that faked a punt from their own end zone, and they made it, and it was like 4th and 9 or something, and the punter was standing deep in their own end zone, and they went for it. I said, you know something? These guys watched the San Diego game and the Cleveland game, and they said, what the hell, man? Let's rip a page out of that book. We'll catch these guys asleep at the wheel. You give up a punt return for 40 yards, okay, against the Cleveland Browns of all teams, okay, when they're punting from their own 10-yard line. For God's sakes, man, what the hell's going on? Anybody going to ask me if the special teams guy ought to be fired? Because I'm going to jump the gun and say, fire him now.
I think Tomlin said that they are going to look at making a change there, but we're off topic.
It's a shock.
All right, hold on.
Tomlin, it's good to know. It's good to know at least you have some sense of reality. Okay, let's get rid of that.
You gotta like that, Joe. Two special teams firings.
Two in 1 year. Yeah, that bodes well for our special teams.
Special teams suck. Maybe we should try it without a coach.
Hold on.
In the interview, I want a guy where if I say, hey, if special teams is not doing so well, okay, and the game is on the line and you guys keep giving it up, would you be willing to punt the ball out of bounds and kick the ball out of bounds on kickoffs if you can't get the damn coverage together? I want a guy to say, yeah.
Coverage is top five, so that's a little silly. Okay, so going back to the Todd Haley thing real quick, my ultimate issue there is I don't know. I think Todd Haley's a great offensive coordinator. I said that when he got hired. I thought the performance throughout the year was getting better, not worse, right up until those last three games. I'm not willing to put the entire blame of that on Todd Haley. Certainly not enough to get him fired. But I think that if you have a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, where he's not going to accept that, then I think you do have to make a change there. And I think you have to make a change.
I got to tell you, dude, I totally disagree with you.
You have to go back. Well, hold on. Let me finish here. You have to go back. You have to go to what Ben wants. I mean, ultimately, he's the leader on that offense, right? If he's not the leader, who is? We're going to expect it's going to be Heath Miller or Marquise Pouncey. None of these guys have stepped up. None of these guys have become, they've been here a while. Antonio Brown. I don't know, Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know. I don't know if it's not Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know who it is on that offense. We know who it is on defense, right? And you can remove some of those guys and still pick up the pieces like we saw with Ferrier. But Ben's got to be that guy. And so you cannot have your quarterback and your offensive coordinator fighting over what the offense is, right? So we have to you have to bring back someone that Ben wants. And to me, the answer is simple. You have – look, this is a crappy situation, but you have to let Todd Haley go, and you have to bring in Fichtner, the quarterback coach who was thought of to be if they were going to hire someone from in-house, from Bruce Arians' staff, that would be the guy that they would go to. He's the current quarterback coach. He was the wide receiver coach. He's a guy that Roethlisberger likes. They will work together. There will not be any discontent in the locker room. You go back to an offense that maybe isn't, maybe isn't as effective or isn't what the Steelers want. But this is a team full of talent, and you can't have that talent. You can't have a career of Ben Roethlisberger's wasted by, I don't like this coach or, all the BS. I mean, look, we all as Steeler fans, we signed up for Ben Roethlisberger. It's not as though we didn't know who Ben Roethlisberger was coming into the season. And now we're all just finding out for the first time, holy crap, I didn't realize that Ben Roethlisberger is kind of a crappy person and pulls some pretty stupid things from time to time. No, actually, we knew this back when we got him and he had the motorcycle thing. And then he had those two incidents, where he got arrested twice. I guess he only got arrested once, but two times he had dealings with the law. And then post Arians, we heard all this Ben stuff. So we knew this going in. We signed up for this, all of us as Steeler fans. So do you want to watch?
Excuse me. I did not sign up for any of this crap.
Sure you did. You've been cheering for him for his whole career.
All right. Let's just take this a piece at a time. First of all, 1-6 in the last 7 meaningful games, okay, where the offensive performance and, maybe coupled with horrible mistakes on special teams. But really you could place the losses squarely on the offense and their lack of where the offense can't exceed 13 points. I mean, this is a disaster. This isn't like, oh, the offense sputtered. Oh, there was a couple of bad. You could argue that in that 7 game stretch, the offense was an unmitigated disaster. There was a lack of offense, period. Okay. So that's horrible. So if you're going to say, well, that's because the offensive coordinator couldn't put it together, and there was a lack of imagination, a lack of what, of adjustment, a lack of the. Well, then okay, shit can the offensive coordinator, and let's move on. But if you're going to tell me that's it's not okay. He deserves another chance, even though it was an unmitigated disaster, and it was all his fault because he didn't make adjustments, he didn't work with the talent that he had, like they did on the defensive side. Okay, well, sorry, I don't buy that. But here's another thing that I equally, maybe even more so, more vehemently, do I not buy this crap. Oh, my prima donna, spoiled brat, freaking first-round draft pick quarterback wants to pick the offensive coordinator, so I'm going to fire a good guy who's got good ideas, the ideas that I believe in as the owner of the franchise. This is the direction of this franchise. The most storied franchise in football, okay, is going to be dictated to by our quarterback, okay, who's going to go, no, I don't buy the 40 years of offense you guys have put on the field and your 6 trophies. I don't buy that. I'm picking the offense. Well, why don't we just make Ben Roethlisberger the offensive coordinator, if that be the case? In that case, I say, no freaking way do we fire this guy. If that's what the problem was, I tell my quarterback, get in line. You work for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is the way Pittsburgh Steelers play football. You fit into that this way. Can you fit? Can you not? And then move from there. Okay? That would be, I just absolutely don't buy that. Okay? And did I sign up for a prima donna quarterback? Absolutely not. John Elway was a brat when he came into the league. I wanted nothing to do with that guy. I don't care how many trophies he ever won or lost. I didn't want nothing to do with him because he was a spoiled, rotten brat
who wanted to dictate to the NFL where he was going to play and what he was going to do. And there have been a lot of guys like him since then, and I don't buy him. I don't like Terrell Owens or any of these prima donnas, and I definitely don't want the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback to be some prima donna who's got to have it his way or no way, because we ain't winning no Super Bowls that way.
Well, we did, though. We did win a Super Bowl.
No, sir. No, sir. We did win a Super Bowl in 2008. 2005, we won a Super Bowl because we had a great defense.
I said 2008. Okay?
And because we had a running offense, and because, surprise, the Steelers could throw the football for the first time in 15 years.
2008. Okay? I said 2008.
2008. We had the best defense in probably 20 years in football, okay? And the offense, go back and listen to the podcast. The offense sucked shit that year.
Yeah,
and
we were like, in the playoffs, oh my God.
And I'll tell you something, Tony, you were the guy saying, we're squandering one of the best defenses in history on this crappy offense.
Well, tell me what happened in the last six games of this year. I mean, this year, did we not squander a pretty good defense? You know, and in that 2008 season, no, I mean, it was the offense at the end that won the game for us. And it was the defense that tried to lose it for us. If you want to go back and relive that Super Bowl, you know, that's what happened. The defense gave up the biggest play of the year and put the offense in a situation where it had to drive 90 yards in a minute and a half.
The defense also made, probably not even arguably, the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history at the end of the first half in that game as well. So I'm not buying that the offense carried us to any Super Bowl.
I'm not buying it.
This is the Steelers. Defense carries us to every Super Bowl we've ever been in.
Right, but if the argument is that if you run Ben Roethlisberger style of offense that we can't win, well, that's just not true. So, I mean, what I'm saying is we need to go back to Ben's style of offense. We have to. We don't have a choice at this point. If Ben's going to put his foot down and say, I'm not playing Todd Haley style of offense, and again, it's not that – I think what we're mistaking here is – it's not that Ben Roethlisberger is saying, I don't like this style of football, right? That is not what he's saying. He's saying, I don't like the fact that you let my guy go, and now you're bringing in a guy who doesn't want me involved, who is not going to work with me on this stuff, because Todd Haley is not that kind of guy, right? Todd Haley is this is the way that I play, and you will play my way. And Ben is saying, no, I will not play your way. Right? I'm not saying go back to big chunks. What I'm saying is bring in a guy who's going to work with Ben because ultimately we have to call our quarterback.
Tony, according to Jerome Bettis and the article you just read his quote from,
mm-hmm.
Art Rooney wants to play this style football. Okay? Right. Art Jr. wants to play this style football. Okay? Not Todd Haley. Todd Haley's there, and Bruce Arians is gone because Art Rooney Jr. wants this team to run a certain style offense,
right.
And so do most of the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I have a problem. I do have somewhat of a problem with that, with the ownership dictating the style of football. That sounds, you know, we're getting close to. And I thought this when I heard that there was rumors in the beginning of the year that it was not Tomlin's decision to fire Arians. It was Rooney. It was the Rooneys that did it. Now that rubs me the wrong way. We're getting very close to
Jerry Jones.
We're getting very close to Jerry Jones. We're getting very close to, yeah, I have this coach and this offense and all, and you know, these players,
hey.
But I'm going to do this, but it's going to be run me the ownership's way. That's not a winning football, you know? And if we're moving, and look, if that is the case, then this is not a problem with Tomlin or Haley or Roethlisberger or any of that. If this stuff is being dictated from the top, if it is true that this stuff comes from the top, 8-8's going to be around for a while. We're going to be doing a lot of 8-8.
Look, they just need to work it out, like I said. I mean, if Haley's being so stubborn that he won't talk to and work with Ben, that's a problem. If Ben is so prima donna-ish, is the way Joe is saying, or saying that he possibly could be, saying that, you know, it's my way or forget it or nothing's going to work. That doesn't work either. They need to work it out. And it comes to, you know, Tomlin needs to figure that out. He needs to get them together and they need to work it out. I mean, I can defend Ben in saying, hey, listen, I'll go out there and do what you tell me to do. But I'm just telling you that my skill set you could do a lot more. You know, you're getting like 60% of what I'm capable of by running an offense like this. You know, that's a nice way to put it instead of saying this isn't going to work or this has no chance. But on the other side, you know, Haley could do the same thing.
But Mike, don't you think that the fact that this went public now, the fact that this is out in the open now, that this is a public, Ben versus Haley thing. You know, Michael Smith, a great writer for ESPN, he's the host of Numbers Never Lie. He tweeted right after the game against Cincinnati. He said, "You mean to tell me that Todd Haley called another game losing interception?" This is in the public eye now.
It's a joke. It's a joke, and the media has fun with it. But if I'm those two guys, I get together in the off season and we work it out, and I say, "Look, let's show them. Show them that you could be a great offensive coordinator. Let's show them that I can be another Super Bowl winning quarterback and possibly get to the Hall of Fame with a few more good seasons."
Yeah. I mean, that's my hope, right? Is that, you know, I'm not sure that can happen.
Why? Because of egos.
Because of egos, yeah. I mean,
you put egos aside, you can win games.
Right.
You keep your ego, you'll never win, and you can go down the list of teams and players and coaches with egos and owners that don't win because of it.
Right. I mean, I just, you know, I guess the reason I say you have to let Haley go is that from everything we've heard about who Ben Roethlisberger is as a person, you know, I mean, we all as Steeler fans kind of ignored the fact that when he was going through those legal troubles, it started to come out. You know, Joey Porter and all the players started talking about Mike Logan and forget the other guy who basically said, yeah, Ben was kind of an a-hole, you know, those for
– Yeah, and there were stories, you know, from fans
and
people like that, restaurant owners. But I'll tell you this, people can change. People can mature,
right?
And you don't know what's
really happening. But it's got to happen. I mean, clearly it hasn't happened yet, right?
I don't know.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger has demonstrated that he dances on the edge, and he goes over, and then he gets rescued somehow, and then he straightens himself out for a while,
yeah.
And then he has success, and then it goes to his head. And then he dances his way right back to the edge again.
Yeah.
And I think he's done that again. And Tony, I have to address this Art Rooney, Jerry Jones thing. I know you're not comparing Art Jr. to Jerry Jones. And if you are.
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. Okay. So maybe you're moving in that direction. When Art Rooney's on the sidelines, when great right. coaches don't want right. to work for Art Rooney,
right.
that's a different thing.
Right.
I don't think Art Rooney dictates to anybody, but I think this. I think that when Art Rooney looks at a team and goes, you know, this is not what I'm used to seeing. It's what I talk. I'll speak for myself. It's why you can go through the 2008 season and think your team is going to have a losing record and they wind up going to the Super Bowl. Okay. And then the next season they're 9-7. Okay. And they miss the playoffs. Right. It's inconsistency. It's not a way. It's not a steal. First of all, it's not the Steeler style. I am a Steeler fan for 40 years. I'll never change because of the Rooney family, because of the way Dan Rooney ran the Pittsburgh Steelers, and because of the way hopefully Art Jr. is going to continue to run the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the no-nonsense. Ben Roethlisberger is not a no-nonsense guy. He's bringing a lot of nonsense into the picture. I don't like it. I don't need it. I don't want it. You offered a couple of scenarios there. One is the quarterback's going to dictate to the team how things are going to be done. And I say, no, thank you. Get rid of the quarterback. I don't care who he is. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
but I will continue to be a Steeler fan anyway.
I think
Art Jr. giving an overall vision of how the team, what kind of a team he wants to have. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. That's what his father did. That's where Chuck Knoll came from.
Right.
I
think to me though, it is important that the team is ultimately Mike Tomlin's team, right? And if, you know, Mike Tomlin had that, what I thought was a great quote that first year, when he was, you know, when Willie Parker went public and said, you know, we don't run the ball enough. I think we've gotten away from the run. That's our problem this year. And Tomlin came out that very next press conference and said, look, I'm going to address that right now. I don't walk past six rushing titles. I walk past six Lombardi trophies. Or I guess at the time it was five.
It was five
at the time. Or he could have been very forward thinking and knowing that next year they were going to win the Super Bowl.
The Rooneys do it the right way. They even if they came out publicly and said, hey, look, we want a style of play like this, the way we, you know, we have a heritage of this and a history of this, that's fine. They own the team. They hired the coach, and they hired the coach that thinks that they're going to run the team like that. And if the coach doesn't run the team the way they want them to run the team, guess what they can do? Right. They can fire the coach.
Right.
And
see,
so,
that's where you have to go, right? You have to. It has to be Tomlin's decision. If the idea is we're going to run the ball more, that can't come from Rooney. That has to come from Tomlin. And if it doesn't come from Tomlin and the Rooneys aren't happy with it, then you don't remove Bruce Arians. You remove Mike Tomlin.
Well, ultimately, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Rooneys go, well, I don't think the Rooneys are saying, hey, you don't run the ball enough, Mike Tomlin, and you need to. I think when they hired Tomlin, they probably asked him what his coaching philosophy was.
Right.
And, you know, and they felt like he was a great fit for, you know, for who the Steelers are, and what they want the Steelers to be.
Right.
And so, you know, this idea that Rooney forced Tomlin to fire Arians, I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy that either.
I think you're right in that. You Mike Tomlin told us how you want to run the team. Now you're running it different than what you told us. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know that. And you're winning, so you know we ain't doing nothing. I think it's when you start losing, then it's like, okay, well, you're losing now. What's going on? So we look closer. Doesn't mean we come in and start meddling around.
Right.
We're just going to look closer. You lose enough, you got to start thinking about making a change.
Right. But we haven't started losing.
What's that?
They haven't started losing yet. I mean, until now.
Oh, yeah, they lost. They lost a lot of games this year.
No, I'm saying until now. Well, that's what I'm saying now. But when we made the change for Arians, we were 12-4, right?
And Tomlin still hasn't had a losing season now. Is that true?
Yeah, Tomlin has not had a losing season. Yeah, I mean, Tomlin overall, I think, has been a successful coach. This is certainly the most trying time. You know, the 2009 season.
The problem, there's not, you know, 8-8 is okay when you're in a rebuilding year. And I thought we were going to be 8-8 based on a defense that had to be rebuilt.
Right.
The problem.
Let's not stop there, because part of the reason we are 8-8 is because we had a rebuilding time to that defense. You know, Denver, we literally, they did not punt after they went to the no huddle in the first game of the season. We let Oakland score 34 points. You know, those first two losses, I can put that on the defense.
Well, yeah, you can. As the season ends up, we're 8-8 because, and not in the playoffs because our offense fell apart.
Right.
And our offense was not supposed to fall apart. Our offense was supposed to, you know, it was not supposed to miss a beat. I mean, we got rid of a Pro Bowler, Hines Ward, you know, where he maybe could have played another year or two because we had so much talent on offense.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I would have to go back. I'll have to go back and listen to our. I don't know that we thought. I certainly did not think that the offense was going to come out and just hit its stride right away. Think about even Tomlin's first year or Malarkey's first year, Wisenhunt's first year, right? They didn't win the Super Bowl, and in fact, I think it takes time, these things.
The problem with the offense, Tony, is it went backwards. The defense started out horrible, ended up good. The offense started out good, right? Better than we expected it to be early, ended up much worse than we ever thought it could have been. That's the problem.
But it's hard. See, it's hard for me to pin that on Haley or the play calling.
I agree. It's a combination of things.
Well, it's something.
And you don't give up on it, and you work on it in the off season and see what happens.
We don't know what it was, but I can say I didn't see much adjustment. I mean, that's one thing. There's no, you know, you can't deny that. You can't deny, you know, Ben struggled at the end. Absolutely. He made bad decisions at the end. Absolutely. Spoke out against Haley. Absolutely. Offense was in disarray. Absolutely. These are things that are, you know, you have empirical evidence before you. You can choose to deny it or look at it and see it for what it is. Now, what the cause of all that is, you know, that we, all we can do is speculate. But those guys know what the cause is. And I'm going to guess that they're going to make, you know, they're going to act accordingly. If the cause was Todd Haley, then Todd Haley's out. If the cause is Ben Roethlisberger, it's more complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is more complicated. Yeah. And I think, you know, down that stretch, I don't want to say the offense certainly in that Cincinnati game, disarray. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but, I do want to say they did make some adjustments. I don't want to say they didn't make adjustments. They did. They did. They started throwing the ball deep more often. They were successful. You know, they had, the long pass, in the Cincinnati, that's the only big play of the day, or the only good play of the day was that long one to Antonio Brown.
That was 100% of the offense that day.
Right.
There was nothing else.
Right. Of course, that's the concern, right? But I mean, like I said before, you know, when the offense was at its peak, the running game was more than efficient. It was successful. It was 100 yards a game. Down the stretch, that running game disappeared. And whether or not you want to put that on the runner themselves, the offensive line, you know, or just play calling or not being committed enough to the run, I mean, that's your own personal preference, right? Because all of those things, I think, played a factor in it. Which one you want to give its top precedent is, I mean, you know, that's personal preference. But all that stuff is going to play in next season. You know, I'm interested to see where this team goes, next season. We have a lot to talk about as far as, you know, who do we bring back? Who do we let go? What do we look at in the draft? And I think all that stuff we can talk about next week. I think this might be a good place to wrap this thing up. I don't know where you guys are feeling right now.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, let's wrap this podcast up. Next week we will be back. We're going to do off-season podcasts this year, so you don't have to worry. We're coming back. If you want to, you know, we'll probably do a mailbag at some point. We're going to need something to talk about, you know, in March and April. Next week we'll talk. We'll do our season review. I know we talked a lot today about, you know, the whole season, but we'll keep talking about that and then talk about our MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, most improved player, all that stuff we do every year. And then we'll start getting into the draft talk and who should come back, all that stuff. But anyway, any final thoughts, Joe? I know this was kind of a downer podcast.
Well, you know, the season ended on a pretty big downer. Yeah. So, you know, our apologies to Steeler country, but that's what this is. I mean, we were talking about the Steelers and what they're doing. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's fun. You know, this one was kind of, you know, well, you know, it sucked. And so now we have to talk about that it sucked.
Was this worse than the 2009 season?
Well, I'd have to say no, because that was coming off a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, we wanted a chance at back-to-back and didn't even make the playoffs. It seems worse, though. Seems like it hit harder and faster, but.
Well, in 2009, the expectations were higher at the beginning of the season.
Well, and let's not forget, mid-season when you guys expected us to three-peat.
We did call for a three-peat after we beat the undefeated, at the time, Denver Broncos in Denver, I think it was.
Yes.
And so it looked like, hey, man, this team's rolling. And then we started the whole special teams fiasco and lost a whole bunch of really stupid games.
Yeah.
So I guess 2009 would be worse because the expectations started out much higher, coming off a Super Bowl win, starting out the season, you know, pretty well. Beating the undefeated team, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the season. Then Polamalu got hurt and, you know, all bets were off. So
that's true. That's why it didn't hit as hard.
Yeah,
we knew we were much lesser without him.
And you know what's interesting about both seasons? 9-7, 8-8, Troy Polamalu didn't play the majority of those seasons.
Yeah.
Those games. Well, this year, the expectations were definitely lower. If you listen to our preseason podcast and what our expectations were, you know, we were not thinking, hey, this is a team that's going to make a Super Bowl run or, you know, anything like that. We were hoping the offense could put it together.
What was your floor? Do you remember what your floor was in the beginning of the year? Like, what was the lowest you thought this team could do?
Probably right about 8-8.
Mike, what about you?
I don't remember.
I I don't think I went that low. I picked him to beat the Lions in the Super Bowl, so what the hell do I know?
What we pick is one thing, but I think when we talk about what's the low, you know, that's different.
Yeah. I think my low was something like 7-9 or 6-10. I thought that the offense might just not – I thought the offense might just not come together at all, and it's just – I thought we might have the Ben versus Haley thing.
Well, we were worried about the defense too.
Yeah. No, actually, I came into the season pretty high on the defense. I was probably the optimist on the defense among the three of us, because I thought last year when we got that playing time for Keenan Lewis and Jason Worlds and Cam Hayward, Ziggy Hood, you know, all those guys got significant McClendon as well. All those guys got significant playing time on that defense. I thought that was really going to play a factor. Oh, also Mundy played a lot. And it didn't really have.
It only panned out for Keenan Lewis, really.
Yeah, I mean Worlds led the team in sacks.
Cortez Allen.
Yeah, Cortez Allen played well. You know, Worlds led the team in sacks. Worlds, we're going to talk about Worlds next week because I have some thoughts. All right, Mike, I would be remiss if I did not ask you for some predictions. I know you love doing predictions, but the Steelers don't play this week. But let's get your predictions for Wild Card Weekend.
We should go Wild Card Weekend and maybe. Super Bowl picks from this point. But before I go into that, this has been a downer podcast. And let me just say this. As Steeler fans, we have been very lucky over the years to have all those great playoff games and playoff wins, even against the Ravens and Super Bowl wins. And there's a lot of teams that don't get that. You know, Browns and Bills of recent and even the Cowboys haven't won a playoff game in forever. So it's frustrating as a fan this season not to get into the tournament. Even if you get in and lose the first round like we did last year, it does make the last couple of weeks of the season and into the wildcard weekend more fun. But, you know, we got to swallow the – got to take it on the chin this season, basically. Yeah. So, okay. So, playoff predictions.
Let's start with the Saturday game, right?
Let's quickly go through the games.
Start with the Saturday at 4:30. We have Cincinnati Bengals at the Houston Texans. I think it's probably the worst playoff game of the weekend. Houston, a team in total free fall. They had one loss at one point, looked like they were going to go at worst 14-2. They end up 12-4, not only miss out on home field advantage, miss out on the first round bye, and now they have to play Cincinnati in the first week. Mike, do you think there's any way Cincinnati can pull off this upset?
There is.
Would it be an upset?
It would be an upset just based on record, but the Bengals are, I don't know, I have to look at their schedule, but they were like 1-5 last six games or six of the last seven.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hot.
Yep.
And they ended up 10-6, tied with the Ravens.
Yep.
For the division lead. So basically, and Texans have been shooting themselves in the foot. I think that the Texans are going to turn around and play a solid game offensively and defensively and find a way to win that game.
All right. So you got Houston.
Yeah.
Joe, quickly.
I feel exactly the same way Mike does. I wouldn't surprise me if Cincinnati won, but I think Houston is a better team, and I think they're not going to go far in the playoffs, but they'll win this one.
Vikings, I also have Houston in that game. I think that there's a good chance. I think it'll be a good game. I think Houston's going to have to tough this one out, and if they can get through this game, you know, I think that they could, you know, they're certainly capable of making a run in the playoffs, but they have to prove it this week. This is going to be a tough game for them. All right, Minnesota at Green Bay, a rematch game. Adrian Peterson comes within 9 yards of the record. He does break 2,000, though. This game is in Green Bay, not Minnesota. How much of an effect is that going to have on the outcome, Mike, where the Vikings won last week? Do they win this week?
I really enjoyed Week 17 and watching Adrian Peterson run in that last game, and I'd love to see it again, but I just don't think that he is enough to – outlast this passing league in Aaron Rodgers, especially in Green Bay. So I see him getting over 150 yards, but I think Rodgers and Green Bay find a way to win and probably win by 10 or more points.
Yeah. Joe, one of the theories that came out last year, you know, Green Bay went 15-1 last year, lost their first playoff game against the Giants. Now, a lot of people put that on the Giants' pass rush and their ability to stop the Packers, but are the Packers – Are they a dome team? Are they a fair weather team? Are they a team that in January in their home, it actually makes them worse?
You know, I said that back in 2010 when they had that, Rodgers had that light up season.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I want to see him do this at Green Bay in January, because I got a feeling this is going to be the first time in history where a team has a home field disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't play to their style. But no, I think the Packers, I think they proved it in 2010, at least Rodgers did. And then the Vikings are a dome team anyway, so they're not gonna, you know, I know their style of football, running the football is gonna be easier for them than passing the football will be for the Packers, but, that's only in theory. Unless it's a really sloppy weather day, the cold is not gonna hurt the Packers. And the Packers will win easily.
I don't know, I have the weather here in front of me. That's a good point. I don't know what the weather's gonna be. I think the Packers are a fair weather team, and I don't, you know, my problem is I want to pick the Vikings in this game, but I can't do it because you're asking me to say that Christian Ponder is going to have two good games in a row. I can't say that. So I think the Packers do win this game. I think it is a home field disadvantage. This game will be closer than you would think. And Adrian Peterson is going to have another big game because that Packers defense is not good. But I just can't see Christian Ponder not throwing, you know, pivotal interceptions Romo style. All right, we're going to Sunday games now. This is a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. This is Baltimore at home against Indianapolis. Kind of that the old Baltimore Indianapolis rivalry there. The Colts going back to their original home. Joe, you said all along that this Ravens team is not as good as their record. Now they end up 10-6. They've got a home game in the playoffs. Do you believe that the Colts are as good as their record, which is 11-5? And can the Colts beat the Ravens this week?
That is the question that's going to get answered this weekend, because you really don't know. The Ravens had almost as horrible an ending to their season as the Steelers did. They played some really crappy ball for a really long time. They managed to eke out a win or two at the very end. And just stave off Cincinnati. Almost to no credit to them. I mean, really. They just kept losing. They had the thing wrapped up 2 or 3 weeks earlier than they wound up wrapping it up, because they kept losing. So they couldn't. But in any case, and then the Colts, you don't really know how good they are. I don't know that I believe in the Colts yet. I know they're 11-5. And I could see them winning in Baltimore. So here's the thing. I think we know the Ravens are not a very good team. They're not nearly as good as their record. I think if this was Cincinnati versus Ravens, I think you'd pick the Bengals to beat them in this round. The Colts, I'm going to pick the Colts just out of Raven hate.
Wow.
Yeah, I really don't know who's going to win, but I'm going to – and really, maybe not solely out of Raven hate. I know the Ravens are not as good as – I know that they're not as good as everyone thinks they are. And the Colts, we don't know if they're as good as they seem to be. So they get the benefit of the doubt, because there's not much doubt in how bad the Ravens are.
I think the Colts are probably the worst team in the playoffs. But it's interesting, you know, they're a team that they play for their coach, right? I mean, that has risen this team up. The combination of Andrew Luck plus the whole Chuck Strong thing has really, has really risen this team up to be an 11-5 team. They've won games in weird ways, the same way the Ravens have. This is going to be a very interesting game, because I think a lot of people thought both of these teams would be one and done in the playoffs. That can't be the case. One of them has to win a game. I'm going to pick Indianapolis just because, it's easy for me to see how the Ravens lose this game if Flacco has a bad game. And I think that, you know, the Ravens defense can easily get exposed by Andrew Luck. So, I'm going to go with Indianapolis. Mike, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a high scoring game, because both teams don't have very good defenses. And the Colts have a good offense, and the Ravens have proved they can play good offense like they did 2 weeks ago against the Giants, where they looked really good. And if they use Ray Rice a lot, they'll have a chance to win the game, especially if Flacco doesn't have any flack-ups, as we call them. Yeah. So, however, this would not be a Steeler podcast if we did not just all pick against the Ravens. So yeah. I will definitely go. We're watching the Florida game right now, aren't we?
Anyway. Oh, Florida.
I'm always get caught doing this. I'm actually not watching it.
You're
right
not
now.
Watching it. All right.
Well, did something good happen?
Well, just so everyone knows, I mean, everyone's going to know what happened before they listen to this, but it's 15 seconds, first play from scrimmage. Florida throws a pick six to Louisville.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't the quarterback's fault. Anyway, let's move on to this. I got the Colts.
Yeah, you got Indy. Okay, all right. All right, let's last game of Wild Card Weekend. This is a good Wild Card Weekend. I'm excited for... Pretty much, I mean, all these games are probably going to end up close. I don't think there's going to be any blowouts this week. And this last one has all the intrigue in the world. They save the best for last. Seattle at Washington, two rookie quarterbacks. Russell Wilson versus RG3. This game is in Washington, which makes it interesting for me picking Seattle here. I'm going to pick Seattle to win this game. I think that they are the overall better team. But I think that they are better at home. They're only 3-5 on the road, 8-0 at home. I think that they can win this game. I think that they will win this game. I think they have a much better defense. They're going to make it hard for Griffin certainly they're going to make the running game go away, right? I don't think Alfred Moore is going to have a huge game. And then they're going to put it all on RG3. And we'll see. I like the way Russell Wilson plays. I like the fact that the way Seattle plays offense, they're very, very balanced. And I like Seattle in this game. Mike?
I agree. I really want the Redskins to win. I like RG3 and I like watching him play. And I don't like the Seahawks for whatever reason, probably Pete Carroll and just all of his antics. But the Seahawks seem too tough. And I know they don't play well on the road, but I think it's going to be a close game. I think Seattle ends up winning by three. And I did see the replay on that. And maybe the quarterback did a bad throw. Anyway.
Maybe the quarterback, man. Maybe. That was a shit throw. It's totally the quarterback's fault. The guy was open. If he throws it low and inside, it's a catch and a gain. And instead, he throws it high and away. And the guy's got to reach out. He can barely get a hand.
All right, I'm
pulling
for him. Let's move on.
All right. Yeah, he's a hometown boy. All right, let's go Seattle, Washington, Joe. Last game of Wild Card Weekend.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you guys. Thank goodness. No, the Redskins are going to win this game. Seattle's 3-5 on the road because they're crap on the road. They're going to be on the road. They're heading across the country. They're a big, brutal team. They beat up on the Cardinals by 50 points, and they beat up on all these teams that went nowhere. I got news for you. The Redskins are going somewhere. Okay, and you know where they're going? They're going to the second round, the divisional round of the playoffs, after they dispatch with the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks will not be able to manhandle and beat the crap out of the Redskins. I think the Redskins, you know, look, I'm not a big Shanahan guy, but I mean, you got to respect the guy. He knows how to coach a team.
Yeah.
And he's done that again. And he's finally, in the first time in a long time, he's got some talent to work with. And he's making the most of it. So it's going to be a fun game to watch, but I think the Redskins will win it.
Okay, so really quickly, we are over time now, but we have a little bit. Okay, Super Bowl prediction. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Joe.
Can't we just talk about the playoffs as they go?
Well,
I have to say who I think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because we can adjust it week after week now.
Oh, I gotcha.
We can
it's kind of a surprise question. So while I'm thinking.
Predictions.
All right, yeah. All right, you think, Mike, you go. Sorry, but we're over time. We got a hard out at 8:30.
I don't hear Mike jumping out of the game.
I know.
All right, I got this.
Why don't Tony go first?
Come on, I got this. All right, it's Denver, Seattle is my Super Bowl. You're going to wonder why I'm saying Seattle. Now, here's why Seattle, okay? Mike, you're going to love this. So Seattle, if they win, they would play Atlanta, right? Green Bay, if they win, they play San Francisco. Okay, so I think Seattle is going to beat Atlanta because I think Atlanta is a team that was smoke and mirrors throughout the year, and they're going to get exposed as not a quality playoff team, much the way Green Bay did last year. So Seattle makes it to the championship game. Green Bay beats a San Francisco team that is having, you know, Kaepernick in his first playoff game. You know, not sure I'm a believer there. Boom. What does that set up? What does that set up? That sets up the playoff game of all playoff games, the Seattle-Green Bay rematch of course, the replacement ref game. And I like Seattle to win that one again.
Could they bring those replacement refs back for the Super Bowl in that
case?
For the NFC Championship.
Yeah, that would be terrific. No, and of course, I got Peyton Manning winning his second Super Bowl ring. I think it all lines up for him this year. The AFC playoff picture is, you know, it's a little bit weak. If the Texans win, ultimately the three teams that he could end up playing in the second round are Colts, Ravens, Bengals. I think he will beat up on any of those teams, especially the Colts, who he has a personal vendetta against. Probably sets up for a New England versus Denver playoff game. This one, though, in Denver, where he usually had to go to New England, this time he'll have a home game. I think the only other time he had a home game in the AFC Championship game against Tom Brady, he won that game en route to his first Super Bowl ring. So I like Manning to win that game, and I like Manning to win his second Super Bowl. All right, now that you guys have had time to think, I'm going to go back.
Copycat. So I like Manning also. I like Denver, okay. And I like them. I don't really know if I like this, but I'm going to go San Francisco. I'm going to say the defense prevails on that side, and Kaepernick makes it exciting, gets some things done. And so and Green Bay just doesn't live up to it as far as offensively. And same with Atlanta. Atlanta sputters again. So anyway, I got Denver beating the Niners in the Super Bowl with Manning getting a second ring.
Joe?
All right, before I make my pick, I want to say since we're going to talk about season wrap-up stuff next week,
yep.
Why don't we invite our listeners to write in with their thoughts on the season?
Yeah.
Their thoughts on the stuff we talked about tonight as far – because it was all supposition. You know, is it Haley's fault, Tomlin's fault, Roethlisberger's fault? Whose fault was the offense, right?
No,
give us your opinion on that. And then also I'd like to get some other people besides you guys because you guys always pick the same. You guys are practically in cahoots on who you guys pick. For offensive player of the year, this is going to be the guy most responsible for you winning games. Offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and then team player of the year.
MVP. Team MVP, and then we're going to do – this year we're doing most improved player. We're doing most improved. I don't care.
I'm not doing most improved.
Well, you are.
It's like a Boy Scout thing.
All right, just move on.
Who sucked before but was better now?
Oh my God.
Come on.
All right, wrap it up, Tony. Did we get Joe's pick?
Oh, Joe, my pick. Super Bowl pick.
Real quick. Okay, so you guys got it half right. It's kind of hard to argue Broncos in the Super Bowl from the AFC because there's not a whole lot of competition for them.
I don't even want to hear your NFC. I already know who it is. It's ridiculous. It's already ridiculous.
RG3.
You're going to put RG3 in the Super Bowl.
I said back, I don't know, maybe week 9 or 10 when Griffin got hurt and he did that thing with his rubber knee, you know, and then the backup quarterback came in. What's his name? The backup guy?
Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
That's it. I was going to call. Okay. Anyway, Cousins comes in. He has like 4 or 5 great plays. They win it in overtime. And that, I think, was against the Ravens, wasn't it? I said they're a team of destiny. And I think they are a team of destiny. It's going to be Broncos and Redskins in the Super Bowl. Honest to God, I don't know if the Redskins will win it or not. So I'll pick the Broncos to win it, but the Redskins get there.
So Shanahan coaches both teams. Well, head coach both teams.
Yeah.
Shanahan Bowl.
The Shanahan Bowl. All right. I like it. All right. Well, that is going to do it for Steeler Country this week. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, we want to get your feedback this week. MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and Joe's favorite category, most improved player. Send those in this week. The email address, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the website, SteelerCountry.net, Twitter, twitter.com/SteelerCountry. We'll see you next week.